To talk a little bit more about the Canucks prospect and their pipeline, we've got Steve Kornianos of thedraftanalyst.com and writer for the Hockey News. Steve, how's it going?
Pretty good, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing pretty good. We'll get to that question we were just discussing a few minutes ago, or a few seconds ago. But your latest piece on the Hockey News has the top pipelines, prospect pipelines in the NHL listed, and the Canucks are at number 8 for you. What, you know, despite Elias Pettersson graduating and a few other players, Adam Gaudette graduating, what makes them a top 10 pipeline for you?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, well, they were my number 1 last year, or number 3 last year, but they had the number 1 prospect in Elias Pettersson. And, you know, people gave me a little bit of guff for that because I ranked them ahead of Rasmus Dahlin, but I felt that, you know, when you had the kind of season that Pettersson had, being the MVP of an adult age league, a playoff MVP, leading scorer, whatever, I thought that was a significant piece to have in your pipeline. And obviously, you know, I think we all knew, though, he was a special talent. I don't think we realized he was that special considering his rookie year last year. But so obviously they took a little bit of a step back. I love the fact that they drafted Podkolzin, and we talked about that before the draft and even thereafter, how he kind of fits what the Canucks are doing. But even still, you know, so you have Quinn Hughes. He's obviously the prize of the pool. He's a Calder Trophy candidate. You know, he could be the franchise defenseman that they've been looking for quite a while. So when you have that elite piece up top and then Podkolzin as your 1 and 2, to me, automatically, you're going to be in one of the top groups in the league. But it's just the way that the Canucks have drafted the last couple of years. I've given them pretty high grades for what they've done at the draft. Now, granted, they've lost about 5 picks between 16 and 17, you know, mostly CHL guys that they never offered contracts to. But these are late-round guys, so it's not, you know, bad taking a gamble on them. But, you know, you still, they got a lot of guys that you can't count out just yet. You got to give Thatcher Demko a lot of credit for developing the way he's gone. Ole Ylevi looked pretty good in the AHL last year. I know he was a high pick, and we've discussed his development before as well, but you can't close the book on him. And then you look at the other goaltender, Mike DiPietro, who, you know, NHL debut notwithstanding, he's still a pretty good goaltending prospect, one of the better ones in junior hockey. So they also got 2 first-round quality guys, to me, in the second round of the last 2 drafts with Jet Wood, the defenseman, and then Nils Höglander, the Swedish winger. So their 1 through 10 is very good, very good. You talked about Tyler Madden. I agree 100%. As of right now, he's their best center prospect, or, you know, depending on what Adam Gaudette does. So overall, the focus on speed, the focus on skill has impressed me quite well. And listen, they got another goalie, the kid that you can't sleep on, the Silovs kid, the Latvian, who also was very good, and I thought he was a very solid pick for them at the draft. So I know it hurts maybe knocking them down a little bit from that 3 spot last year, but it was more the fact that just some teams that leapfrogged them really did very well at the draft because they stockpiled all these high picks, whereas the Canucks, they had several high picks as well, or in the first and second round, they maintained their picks. But, you know, what L.A. did was ridiculous, getting basically 3 first-rounders, essentially, and coming away with guys like Alex Turcotte and what have you. So, but even still, it goes back to what we said all last year, how the Canucks seem to be building through the draft. They've made some excellent picks, and it's just a matter of time before these picks become regular NHLers and make them a playoff team again.
So, Steve, Jim Benning just got a big contract extension here. That's been the biggest talking point in the market for over the past few days. You mentioned they've had a very strong drafting record, especially recently. Benning has really made his reputation as a scout, as a talent evaluator. How would you evaluate his drafting record as a whole during his time in Vancouver?
Well, I mean, I like it. I think if you look at my last 3 grades that I've given the Canucks, they got a B-plus this year. They got an A-minus the year before that, and then they got an A in 2017. You know, there's that video going around on YouTube where Benning's at the draft table and says, hey, guys, let's focus on skill and speed. And I agree with him in that regard, where you really shouldn't be drafting these big-bodied stay-at-home defensemen or two-way grinder types early in the first round or second round. So it seems that with the type of play, even Tony Uttinen, I mean, he's an undersized defenseman. And you'd think that a guy like Benning, you know, with his history, would say, nah, let's go with some bigger stay-at-home type defenseman or guys that are big and can skate. But no, he went for the undersized puck mover. And this kid is a pure power play quarterback. Same with Jack Rathbone is another one that I like a lot. So the game is trending. It's shifting towards less of an emphasis on size and brute force and slot positioning and whatever aspects of the game that they used to take seriously at the draft. Now we're seeing more of a shift towards that finesse, that vision, that hockey sense, the ability to push the puck up ice and make plays once they get into the offensive zone. So I got to give him a good grade. Clearly to me, though, I think, you start with talking about that trading of that first round pick for JT Miller. Now it's like, okay, well, we have a really solid nucleus right now. And now let's start beefing up our NHL ranks. And listen, he made the trade. Would I have made that trade if I wasn't a playoff team? Probably not. But I think he's looking at what Colson's going to be in 2 years and what Pedersen's going to be in a year and Besser and so on. And so Quinn Hughes, I mean, I could go on and on with these fantastic players that they have developing in Vancouver right now. So from a draft standpoint, you got to give him a lot of credit. Listen, teams are going to make mistakes. If he could do 16 all over again, he probably takes Makhachuk instead of Ojalevi or maybe Sergachev instead of Ojalevi. But you can't really look at it that way. Hindsight, like they say, is always 20/20. So overall, I really like what he's done.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Steve Kornianos of thedraftanalyst.com and writer for the Hockey News. And Steve, looking at Jim Benning's resume when it comes to his picks in Vancouver, you do have those first-round picks that hit. Some of them didn't, as you mentioned, in terms of Ojalevi at this point in time hasn't lived up to that pick, but there is still time. On outside of the first round, though, when you commit dollars to Tyler Myers and other players and you go get JT Miller, it makes those other picks outside of that first round that much more important. As far as those picks, who's that wild card guy right now that you think could really have a really good chance of being a solid NHLer? Because I think one of the major criticisms with Jim Benning is that in the first round, he's gotten Pedersen, he's got Besser, but where are those other guys, and can those players that are maybe fourth or fifth round picks, can they make it to the NHL? Because when you are up against the cap, it's those guys that sometimes make a difference as well, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of guys that he got late that I really like. If you want to consider late to be maybe after the second round, Will Lockwood is progressing really well in Michigan. He's going to be a top line player for them this year. I really like the Kosmar kid. He was very surprising to me that he and his line mate Pasich were drafted so late. They basically were top line players for one of the best teams in Sweden's Super Elite, the junior league there. They played in all situations. They represented Team Sweden at all the major U18 events. So it was very surprising to me why these kids were slipping. I had them both ranked very high. Both were in my top 100. So when you consider a kid like Kosmar, who's a two-way center, could kill penalties, not as fast as Madden, but very smart player overall. He could be a playmaker. He'd be a grinder. He could be a net front presence, even though he's not that big. He's willing to pay the price. So he's the kind of kid that when I see teams make those picks late, if they pick those skill, high hockey sense types in the later rounds, that's always going to help their draft report card grade, because not only because I like them, but I like them for a reason. And to me, it seems like, it's almost like we have the skill, we have the finesse, but now here's a guy that's basically been one of the best players on his team the last 3 or 4 years. And so when you have that type of background, there's no reason why you think that they can't continue that development in places like the SHL in his case, or even in the AHL and eventually in the NHL. So you're not looking for superstars, in the sixth or seventh round, but the way the game's trending, you're going to have a lot of these kids drafted late, especially the European kids, who you don't have to worry about giving them a contract for a couple of years. You can have them basically sit there and develop in Europe and then come over. So, he made, like I said, those five CHL kids that he drafted late. They're no longer with the organization. But I think you might see a shift. Maybe they realize that, and they're going to start drafting college kids and Europeans in the later rounds because they don't have to worry about giving them a contract so quickly.
One of the things they did in this most recent draft that I loved was getting Nils Höglander in the second round at pick number 40. As you said, trending towards speed and skill, and he fits that mold. He has talked himself about wanting to come over and make this team this year. Now it sounds like he'll probably go back and play in Sweden. But what kind of upside does Höglander have, and how soon do you think he can realistically contribute in the NHL?
Well, I think he's ready. He was a first rounder for me last year. He was a first rounder pretty much from wire to wire. I think he's going to be playing for Team Sweden at this upcoming Under 24 Nations tournament that's going to be in Russia. I think it starts on Friday. Feisty guy, high compete level, excellent hands. What I liked about him most is that he played for Rogla. Rogla was terrible last year, but he was an adult team. He was playing in the SHL, and as the season progressed, you know, the confidence grew. He was being used in key situations. So I don't consider him only an offense-first guy. He has those puck skills. He has very good vision. Obviously, he's got pretty good speed as well. But if you could have that type of a season on a bad team in Sweden, I think the transition to the NHL will be a lot more seamless than you'd think. So if you'd like to come over, obviously, he's got to earn a spot out of camp. But look, we saw a guy like Jesper Bratt with New Jersey, sixth-round pick, really not that heralded, and he made the Devils within a year, and he's one of their top nine players now. So if he comes to camp in good shape, he impresses. There's no reason why he can't do it. But I think the Canucks really want their veterans to step up and earn their pay and really make that step towards being a playoff team. So, again, he's a European kid, no rush. But still, one of those kids, one of the reasons why I gave him a high grade this year was because the fact that they got first-round value with the second-round pick.
Steve, you mentioned him a little bit earlier, but Tyler Madden, originally he was branded as that defensive-minded center, but broke out offensively last year as well. How much more do you think he can grow offensively if he's to figure in for the Vancouver Canucks' long-term plans?
He's got tons of potential. I mean, first of all, look who his dad is. I mean, his dad wasn't a big-time scorer, but he was an excellent shut down defensive play forward for the Devils, you know, on cup winners. So you have that going for him. In addition to that, when he played in the USHL, even before he went to Northeastern, he was showed a lot of electrifying traits, not just this heady, smart, two-way type. This kid's got fantastic speed. He's just relentless on the puck. And, you know, some defensemen, they don't like it when they're constantly being pressured by quicker guys and at least the turnovers. And turnovers lead to lengthy possessions in the offensive zone. And you watch, you know, I'm a Northeastern alum, so obviously I'm a little bit partial to him. But if you watch the Huskies last year, this kid was just relentless. And he's also a top six player for them as well. So when you have those top players that are willing to put forth that extra effort, doesn't matter what the clock says, doesn't matter what the scoreboard says, here he is, basically whistle to whistle. He's hitting, he's diving for loose pucks, he's hustling. And on top of that, he's very good in open ice. He makes very smart decisions in odd man rushes. So I think he's got tremendous potential. And same thing with a college kid. You could let him dominate college another year or two and let him come in. But if you're going to earmark one center as a legitimate top six for the Canucks one day, looking at their prospect pool as a whole, you got to put him up there near the top.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much for that. And we'll connect soon. It's almost training camp, just 3 weeks away.
Sure, looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.